How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 102 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and you can search Locked On Thunder and you can subscribe to the podcast there. And once you're on that page, you can leave a review as well. Find us on audioboom.com and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site for all of your Thunder coverage on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Thunder just beat the Boston Celtics 99-96 at the peak. They're now 15-9 on the season. Celtics dropped to 13-11. I actually sat down with Jay King, who's the Celtics beat writer for MassLive.com, and he's the Locked On Celtics host, and Jay's in Oklahoma City for the game, of course. And I sat down with Jay, and we did a whole podcast from Chesapeake tonight. So I'm just going to splice in that podcast now with Jay talking. I'm going to splice it in. I'll let you guys listen to that whole thing. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, Jay King from MassLive.com, with Locked On Thunder's Fred Katz from the Norman Transcript. We're going to be talking about the Celtics' heartbreaking loss, 99-96, to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Great performance by Russell Westbrook down the stretch. Great performance by him, really, all game. The Celtics, back to their troublesome habit of kicking away games, especially against quality opponents. After that tough loss to the Toronto Raptors, where they kind of collapsed in the third quarter, this time the collapse came later. A ton of mistakes down the stretch. Al Horford throwing the ball out of bounds. Avery Bradley letting Russell Westbrook go straight into the go-ahead bucket. Little finger roll at the rim. Just a lot of breakdowns for the Celtics down the stretch. Fred, we'll start with Russell Westbrook because he was dynamite. 37 points. His triple-double streak was snapped, but still, just a dynamite performance. What did you think of Russell Westbrook compared to his normal game?
I mean, I thought it was a relatively normal game for him. Like, it was 37, triple-double streak snapped, but like 37, 12, and 6 on 14 of 26 shooting is like pretty good. I thought the triple-double streak snapped, not necessarily because of him. Like, they shot terribly. They were so bad, and the Celtics did a pretty good job cutting off passing lanes, I thought. But they were so bad shooting. They were 3 of 21 from three, and if you know, four of those threes go in, a couple of those dump offs from Westbrook go in, all of a sudden like he's got his four assists. He's got 37, 12, and 10. So I thought he was great. It was his best game he played in the little while, I thought. I mean, like his 27, 10, and 10 the other night was, we were joking about like his worst triple doubles of the year. Which is like such a weird conversation to have, but it's actually a thing with him. And his 27, 10, and 10, I thought was his worst triple-double of the year, and this was a much better game.
Yeah, down the stretch, he was just dynamite. The finger roll, the three he hit, he was just absolutely dynamic. The post-up where he hit, I think it was Steven Adams down low, just really killed the Celtics down the stretch. It was a weird game. Like, the first half, the Celtics went to the free throw line three times only, and that's part of Isaiah Thomas being gone. You're going to miss that. But they only got to the line three times, and only once was it actually because of a foul. The other two were because of technical fouls. The Thunder, I think they were one of like 14 from the arc at halftime. Just
over at the half. Over at the half. They started 0 for 16 from three.
That's not ideal. So that wasn't good. Just another tough loss for the Celtics. They were all really frustrated. Avery Bradley was talking about the play where Westbrook went to the lane and got the finger roll,
which was a go-ahead bucket with 30.6 seconds left. It was a tie game at the time. Bradley said he was supposed to, or it was a miscommunication. He was supposed to force Westbrook to Westbrook's left, and instead he pushed him the other way, and there was no help defense all the way to the hoop. Just another frustrating loss for the Celtics. I mean, there's not much else to say. They've played all these good teams tough. The Spurs, they crushed them in the first quarter, still lost, got out-executed down the stretch. The Rockets, Al Horford misses a layup. Isaiah Thomas misses a layup right in the final moments. They lose by one. The Raptors, they're up double digits in the third quarter, throw a few turnovers, and all of a sudden the game is flipped on top of his head. Kyle Lowry's going bonkers. And now, you know, the Thunder down the stretch. You said that's kind of characteristic of what the Thunder have done lately. What did you think of their performance in the fourth quarter to close out the Celtics?
They're so weird because if you look at their quarter breakdown, they're like one of the worst teams in the NBA in the first quarter, one of the worst teams in the NBA in the second quarter. They're like the fourth best team in the NBA in fourth quarters in terms of net rating. They play the closest games. It's unbelievable. Like I always say, they're so bad for deadline writing. They're the worst for. They played more games within 5 points with 5 minutes left than any team in the entire league right now.
I can confirm they're the worst at deadline writing. Instead of having enough time to drop my computer off in the press room, I had to carry it during interviews with the Celtics in their locker room. So thank you, Hectic Thunder, for doing that to me.
So I write with my computer rested on the trash can after every game because it's always like a 3-point game that comes down to a 3-point. They played three straight 3-point games that have ended on opposing threes at the buzzer, like that have literally come down to the last possession. Three straight games. And I end up writing on the, like actually like putting my computer on the trash can in the corner of the locker room and writing on it every day. And people are like pushing me out of the way so they can throw out like their smoothies after the game. And I'm trying to write. They execute pretty well down the stretch. They do on both sides of the ball. I don't know why they all seem to do it well in the fourth quarter, and they just don't do it at the same level in the first three. Like, I could not tell you why that's the case, but it's this weird pattern where they're always playing close games in the fourth quarter, like, no matter what, more than any other team in the league.
Yeah, and the Celtics have kind of been the other way lately. And today, I thought it really hurt them that Jay Crowder picked up that stupid foul, one of the worst fouls in the history of mankind at the end of the third quarter, sending Russ with 2 minutes, 25 seconds left, I think it was, in the third quarter. He picks up his fifth foul 90 feet away from the hoop, trying to take a charge. He wasn't even in good position to try to take the charge. I don't know what he was thinking. And you could tell he was pissed because he didn't even bother to stay on the court for any amount of time. He walked straight to the end of the bench and later picked up his sixth foul. And down the stretch, Celtics had to go with a three-guard lineup of Rozier, Smart, and Bradley. And those three-guard lineups for them have been toasted all year long. And they got toasted again down the stretch. I don't know if I would have kept Jaylen Brown in there. He obviously had a great fourth quarter. But, it's a tough decision because the good wings on the Celtics, Crowder's really the only one that you can trust at the small forward. Like, behind him, it's Jaylen Brown and Gerald Green, who clearly is out of favor and hasn't played well. James Young, like, they just don't have a lot of size on the wing. So when Crowder went down, that was a killer. And I think that, as much as anything, hurt them down the stretch.
What do you think of Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown is fun. Jaylen Brown is entertaining because you never know what he's going to do. A lot of the times he is electric and fantastic, and then sometimes he'll just really screw up. But I thought tonight against the Thunder he was very good. I mean, there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where he was their best player. He had put in the alley-oop. He hit the three from the corner. He had that – They had that beautiful play where Rozier pushed it up and fed it to Brown, who dumped it back to Smart, who fed it to Olynyk and slammed it home all in the span of like 4 seconds. Just beautiful transition basketball. But, yeah, Brown is – he's got a ton of potential. I don't know what the hell he will actually become, but it's fun seeing him grow up. And the last four games, I guess, have been four of his best games of the season. So it seems like he's kind of earning the trust. And I think if there's one positive about Isaiah Thomas being out for some time, it's that it's freed up more minutes on the perimeter. And it's given guys like Rozier and Brown chances to kind of solidify themselves in that rotation and earn some of that trust and get key minutes like Brown gave the Celtics tonight. Have you watched the Celtics much? What are your thoughts on Brown? I know you have an interesting an interesting comparison for his looks.
It's not really a comparison because I'm not comparing it to anybody. I would say it's more of like an analysis or an observation that he looks like. You mean that he looks like he would be? He doesn't look like anyone from White Men Can't Jump, but he looks like he would be in White Men Can't Jump.
What exactly does that mean?
He looks like a street ball game from 1991, like the really short shorts, the flat top that like you really haven't seen, like Wesley Snipes like trash talked a guy who looks like him.
I guess it. The funny thing is when you said that the first time to me in the hallway when we were walking, we're actually doing this podcast from the podium where Billy Donovan does his press conferences. So shout out to Billy Donovan. Nice win tonight, Billy. But when you first told me that, I was like, yeah, like that makes a lot of sense. He looks exactly like a White Man Can't Jump extra. Like he could have been in that scene where they pulled out the gun and everyone was like running away. Jaylen Brown could have been running with everybody else.
Yeah, or just any of the guys in like the street ball tournaments. He could have just been like one of the guys who like lost in the early rounds and was like really distraught about it. Like he absolutely could have been one of those. But it's the high top that really does it. Not just the high top, but the line and the side of the high top too. And then like the short shorts. Who wears short shorts in 2016? Like him and... Is he the best short? Who's him? Chris Douglas Roberts did it for like a season, but he's better than Chris Douglas Roberts.
Yeah, I don't think that worked out too well for my man Chris. what else is there? This Thunder, lot of
Oladipo.
Oh yeah, Oladipo. That was scary, man. That was like, I can't remember an arena that eerily hushed since probably Marquise Daniels went down and really hurt his back and everybody feared for him. That was just like complete silence for minutes. Like he's lucky that it was just a sprained wrist.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when they said it was a sprained right wrist. I was like, wait, that was all it was? Like that's like the greatest news that you can have when the news is it's a sprained right wrist. Because I was thinking they were like, you know, I was ready to hear something about his back. Like he limped off. Like you don't limp off because of a sprained right wrist. Like I guess he probably he obviously at the very least got the wind knocked out of him. But he went through concussion protocol and the Thunder said no concussion I'm sure went through other tests too. And the fact that it came back just like a sprained right wrist, it was, I'm with you. That was probably the most like forebodingly quiet arena I've ever heard. Especially like it's such a juxtaposition because it gets so loud in games. And then it was just like completely silent. Like you couldn't even, it was like the type of silent where like, it was like funeral silent where like it's not just quiet, but you feel like uncomfortable talking, you know? It was like really... It was really quiet. It was like an awkward and like a scary moment.
Yeah, that was. I mean, he took a hard fall. Yeah. Actually, when the PR guy came and said it was a sprained wrist, I laughed out loud. It was like first of all, it was relief because it was just a sprained wrist. But it was like he laid on the ground for like 5 minutes. As you said, he limped off. Like it looked like he was motionless. Everybody on both teams was completely shell-shocked. Like, the Thunder were all standing around him. Jonas Jerebko was asking people in the media what had happened on the play because he felt bad about it. Obviously, it wasn't his fault, but he just didn't want to see Oladipo go down like that. And the Celtics were giving him an ovation. And it was a sprained wrist, man. Like, just a bizarre, bizarre injury to suffer in that. I was really glad it was a sprained wrist and not anything else. I mean, you fear when you're laying on the ground motionless, you fear for a lot of different things. It could be whether it's a concussion or a back injury, even worse. I mean, anything I thought was in play the way he was laying there for a while and the way people were reacting. But thank God he was okay. Celtic, do the Thunder always post up that much?
Westbrook likes to post up a lot. Adams gets a decent amount of post touches. He can get a ton tonight. Kanter obviously does a lot. Kanter had a spin move tonight, which was crazy. Do you know the play I'm talking about?
The one where he abused Kelly Olynyk?
that would be the one. He does that once a game now, where he has that like ridiculous. That spin move is a nutty move. Like, he's so graceful on the offensive end, and then just so not graceful on the other end of the floor. Like, it's unbelievable. What a disparity of like foot speed that he has on both ends. It's amazing. You know what was big, which we kind of mentioned? The Jay Crowder foul trouble was huge. Like, I honestly think that was the difference in the game, because he was abusing Anthony Morrow. He was posting him up like crazy. He was physically just overpowering him. And like, the Thunder went with Kyle Singler a little bit once Oladipo got hurt, and like they wanted kind of guys who could guard and shoot on both ends. And like, you stayed away from Jeremy Grant, which I was a little surprised with. I kind of thought we were going to see Grant go on Crowder, and it didn't really happen. But Crowder was killing him. Crowder was playing really well offensively, and he was a major part. And him having to play a little bit more hesitantly once he got to 4 or 5 fouls. That fifth foul was so bad. That was like, he was legitimately 90 feet from the rim when he had that. He was like under the opposing basket. But that was really big, him having to come out of the game and then eventually fouling out, because he was the best thing they had going for them offensively.
Yeah, and to your point, it was the Thunder tried something that I'm not sure if any team has really tried yet, which is putting the small forward, in this case Andre Roberson, on Avery Bradley. And I thought Roberson did a great job on Avery Bradley. His length really bothered him. There was that play in the final minute when Bradley tried to go to the hoop. Roberson really contested it well, forced a miss. But that left Morrow and Oladipo on Crowder, and he was just really hurting them in the post. He had a fadeaway over Oladipo early. He had a couple of post touches against Morrow later. He's just a lot bigger than shooting guards. And even though he doesn't have like this refined post game, if you put a midget on him who's so much smaller, so much less strong, then he can do what he wants. And he made his first 5 shots. He was 7 of 9 in the game. And yeah, it really killed him. And it especially killed them because, again, they don't have that small forward that they trust to play down the stretch. And their defense has been really bad when they've gone with 3 guards, and they had to do that down the stretch.
He wears really tight clothes during warm-ups.
He does. He wears like tights, like tight, like the like ballet dancer pants.
And like the tightest hooded sweatshirt too. Like, it feels like he's wearing the sweatshirt equivalent of Jaylen Brown's shorts when he warms up.
Very restrictive clothing for Jay Crowder. Also tight tonight was Marcus Smart's passing. There's a growing crowd, growing chorus on Twitter especially, of people who think Marcus Smart should only play point guard. And that's because when he's off ball, he shoots the ball, which is no good. And he takes a lot of shots, a lot of three-pointers. And then when he's on the ball, his value is so much different because he's getting into the paint, he's finding guys. The first half especially, he just made great decision after great decision, I thought. Down the stretch, he got in a little bit of trouble. He left his feet a few times. He probably should have attacked the basket and tried to score a couple times when he didn't. And felt like Oklahoma City started to play him better and try to force him to be a finisher more than a passer down the stretch. But I thought he really had a nice game. Is there anything else we want to talk about, man? What about the Thunder? What was there anything? I mean, I thought they went to a lot of post-ups with Adams and Kanter. Yeah, Sabonis too.
Yeah, Sabonis had a few. I was so pumped because Sabonis was going down low. I thought he was going to get a free throw. You know the last time Domantas Sabonis got a free throw?
Tell me.
Over a month ago. He's been to the free throw line once this season. He went 1-for-2 from the line against Miami on November 7th, and he hasn't been to the free throw line since.
That's almost impossible for a starting big man.
Yeah, he plays minutes. He plays over 20 minutes a game. He's taken 2 free throws in like 500 minutes.
My brother Tommy is still mad to this day because his senior year, he only took 3 free throws in the whole season, his high school senior year. And he was a starter. He played a ton of minutes. And referees just never sent him to the line. The Celtics, too, did not get to the free throw line. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, obviously he was missed down the stretch. He's their fourth quarter scorer. He's the guy who, when it's half court and defenses are locked in, he's the guy who can break down guys. And
locked in, nice plug.
Or locked on. Yeah. Follow the Locked On Celtics podcast. Subscribe to us. Audio Tune, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever else. Also follow the Locked On Thunder podcast at the same places. Just search for us, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating. Give Fred at least like a 4-star rating. He probably deserves at least that. But yeah, Isaiah Thomas, I mean, to only get to the line 8 times in an NBA basketball game is incredible. The Thunder only had 9 personal fouls the whole game, and they had 2 techs. So the 1-4.5 technical to foul ratio is really pretty impressive.
It was Clipper like. The officiating was I normally don't talk about officiating, but the officiating, and I think Bill Kennedy is a really good official. I you know, on both sides, they kind of had some problems with Jason Goebel tonight. I only have one problem with Jason Goebel. One problem.
That he spells Jason. You know how Jason Goebel spells Jason? J-A-C-Y-N.
My one problem with Jason Goebel, is that his name? Is that A, you know his name, and B, you know how to spell his name, and C, you have an issue with how he spells his name. I don't think we should care that much.
J-A-C-Y-M is like it's like how Gwyneth Paltrow would spell Jason. It's like how she would name her kid Jason, be like, well, we're going to name him Jason, but it's J-A-C-Y-N.
Gwyneth Paltrow, we got, I mean, Fred Katz just coming in with some high quality humor in this podcast. What
it's
else?
Late. It's late. It's late.
It is late. It is late. The Celtics just kicked another one away. We're going to wrap up this podcast, but Celtics, they were very frustrated. They were literally, when I walked into the locker room, not a single person was talking. Al Horford was sitting there looking like distraught. Avery Bradley was sitting there. He had his head in his hands for a little while. Marcus Smart was dressing, like probably just thinking about that last shot he missed. Not a single word was uttered from one Celtics player to another, I think, the whole time I was in the locker room. I assume the Thunder locker room was probably a little bit different place. But, yeah, that's it. Celtics lost another one, 99-96. The Thunder won another one, 99-96. Russell Westbrook, 37 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Made all the plays down the stretch. And that's it for this edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Locked On Thunder podcast. We are both part of the Locked On Podcast Network.